bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Ryan, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today we continue with our study of Paul's farewell address to the elders at the Church of Ephesus, based on Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. Our study today will focus on Paul's determination to fulfill his ministry. I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Acts, and there I'd like to read from the 20th chapter, verses 17 through 38, with the focus of our study today coming from verses 22 through 24, as we continue with our study of Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders. Now, to give you some background about this passage of Scripture, Paul had ministered at Ephesus for approximately 3 years. He was now returning to Jerusalem to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And on his way to Jerusalem, he stops at a city, Miletus, which is a port town. And while he was there for a layover of some undisclosed period of time, he sends word to Ephesus, which is approximately 30 miles northwest of Miletus, and he desires that the Ephesian elders come so that he can speak to them one last time. Now, Ephesus was approximately 30 or so miles away, which in that time period, in terms of transportation, would be approximately a 2 to 3 day journey. But these Ephesian elders receive word, and they gladly make the trip to see Paul before he continued on with his journey to Jerusalem. And as you read this address, this very close, intimate time that Paul has with them, he provides them words of encouragement, words of instructions, and words of warning. Part of the backdrop of this passage is that Paul is very convinced that he will never see these brethren again. And so he wants to take opportunity to share some very personal, intimate things with them, as well as those things which will be needful since he will not be back. He wants to make sure that these Ephesian elders are ready for some very difficult times that lay ahead of them after his departure. So, as we noted last week, Paul emphasizes his manner of living that he displayed when he was in their presence. And the idea was to mark his manner of living so that these Ephesian elders might translate his lifestyle into their own lifestyles as leaders. And of course, his manner of living centered on three specific things: his manner of service, his manner of teaching, and his manner of testifying to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in this particular section, verses 22 through 24, he begins to emphasize his dedication or his determination when it comes to the fulfilling or the completing of the ministry that Christ has given to him. So, with those thoughts in mind, read with me from Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38. By inspiration, we have recorded these words. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia," that would be Asia Minor, "in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulation await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities. And for those who were with me, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Now again, in verses 22 through 24, which is the focus of our study for today, Paul emphasizes his dedication or his determination to complete or finish his ministry. And there are four specific things that I want us to look at as related to this determination. First of all, there is simply the expression of this determination. And this is seen in the first part of verse 22. Notice that Paul says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem." The term "see" means to behold, something to look at. It means to understand or to perceive with the mind. So Paul desires that these Ephesian elders clearly understand that it's not simply that he is going to Jerusalem, but he is going bound in the Spirit. He has set his sight towards Jerusalem. Nothing short of the providence of God will keep him from this objective. Now I want you to notice this phrase, that he goes bound in the Spirit. The term "bound" means to bind, to tie, or to fasten. It means to put under obligation. It describes a sense of duty. He is constrained, he is compelled by his convictions to go to Jerusalem to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now for Paul, this is something that is keyed to the fulfilling of his ministry. In other words, the Apostle Paul was called by Christ to be an apostle, which means quite literally sent ones. An apostle was sent by and under the authority of Jesus Christ to bear witness or to proclaim or to preach the gospel of Christ, the good news of salvation. And so in some sense, Paul sees this, that is, going to Jerusalem, as part of his calling and as part of fulfilling his ministry. So in this statement, he is quite matter-of-fact about his intentions. He is emphasizing the necessity that is placed upon him to do this thing. Now, in a practical sense, this is a needful attitude for the church today, for believers, when it comes to our own ministry as followers, as part of the church, as making disciples, whatever kind of service that we are involved with, that we might sense that we are constrained in our activities, that there is a phenomenal sense of duty that is attached to our profession of faith in Christ. I'm afraid that all too often our profession of faith is marked by a split allegiance. We claim allegiance to Jesus Christ, but the reality is that there are so many more things in life that takes priority over Christ in our lives. And so in that regards, we are not bound in the Spirit. We are not compelled by an overwhelming sense of duty. It's almost like any and everything else will come first before Jesus. And this is the exact opposite of what Paul is establishing here. Secondly, Paul's dedication or his determination is undaunted. Look at the latter part of verse 22 on into verse 23. Again, in verse 22, Paul says that, "I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem." And then he says, "not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." So first of all, Paul expresses his determination, his dedication. He goes to Jerusalem bound in the Spirit. And then he supports that in a very undaunting way by saying, "I don't know the things that are going to happen to me when I get there." But he does have some idea, because he makes the statement, "except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulation await me." By chains, what is probably meant is imprisonment. Tribulations, that involves such things as persecution, afflictions, or distress. But even though he does not know exactly what will happen, he does have some idea. And this is given by the Holy Spirit, who testifies in every city. Now, part of this testifying by the Holy Spirit may include some type of direct impression to the Apostle Paul himself, but more than likely, it includes those who have the gift of prophecy, those who are prophets in the various churches that Paul has established that he has visited on his way back, that there is a unified message by these prophets that what he can expect to find when he gets to Jerusalem is chains and tribulation. In other words, even though he is very impressed by the duty or the responsibility that is laid upon him as an apostle of Jesus Christ to go to Jerusalem to testify of Jesus, he remains undaunted, even though he has been assured of the harsh consequences that he will face by being faithful in this duty. Now, the fact of the matter is that for most of us, when we think about our Christian service, we tend to base our service on what will be the expected outcome. We seem to be much more willing to go and to do if we think that we are going to be practically guaranteed of good, positive things. And the opposite is also true. We tend to be quite hesitant if we think that what we might experience is going to be negative or painful. Now, I'm the type of person that before I do most anything, I like to have some idea of the outcome. I will ask a lot of questions, and quite often my response, my answer, is dependent upon what I perceive the outcome to be. And while that may be fine in some areas of life, it can be very detrimental if we translate that over into our walk with Christ, for the simple reason that being a follower of Jesus Christ is not an easy thing. Our faith is going to be tested. We are going to face temptations. We are going to face hardships. We might face persecutions. But for Paul, that was not something that concerned him. He said that he was bound in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, and even though he has some idea of what's going to happen, he remains undaunted. He remains convinced of his duty and of his privilege in following the Lord. Now, the third thing that I want you to observe is that following the expression of Paul's determination, following the fact that he remains undaunted in his attitude, he is undeterred when it comes to his actions. Look at the first part of verse 24. Verse 24 begins with the term "but." Even though he is basically assured of chains and tribulations, he says, "But none of those things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself." So mentally, he is undaunted, and when it comes to his practical actions, he is undeterred. Notice first, he says that none of those things move me. This basically means that these things do not alarm him. They are not going to deter him from fulfilling his purpose or his duty. The revelation of these outcomes, his chains, his tribulations, are not going to move him to be diverted from his course of action. Now, unfortunately for some of us, that's exactly what happens when things get too difficult, when things get hard, when we face these pressures, not of simply life, but of being a Christian and following the Lord in our action and in our speech. We give up. We take a detour, or perhaps a U-turn. We go in a different direction instead of staying the course and following through with how and where the Lord is leading. But not so with the Apostle Paul. He remains unmoved. And not only that, he says, "Nor do I count my life dear to myself." That is, he does not count his life as dear or precious to the point that that becomes more valuable than faithfulness to Christ. He does not consider his life to be of such value that it turns him away from chains and tribulations. Now, when it comes to our life, there is a natural sense of preservation that is a part of us. We avoid injury. We attempt to avoid sickness. We attempt to avoid danger. Anything that might cause harm or distress to us physically. But Paul had come to a point in his life that these types of things no longer existed. He was not concerned about his life in terms of that as being an obstacle when it comes to obeying and being found faithful to Jesus Christ. When he says, "I do not count my life dear to myself," he is in essence saying, "I take no account of anything. The freedoms that we might enjoy, comfort or ease or anything like that, that he accounts, that he reckons, that he considers to be more important, or something that he will allow to come between him. And sometimes the great difficulty in following Christ, in being obedient to Christ. Now, the reality is that we often allow all types of things to come between us and Jesus, to come between us and our obedience to him. And the reason for that is because we are focusing on the value, the comforts, the self-preservation of our life. But again, Paul had come to a point that in sickness, or in health, in prosperity, or in need, danger, or something being relatively safe, it didn't matter. Jesus was always going to come first, and obedience to Christ was going to take precedent over everything else. Now, in saying this, I don't think that the Apostle Paul was being arrogant or conceited in any sense whatsoever. He was just affirming truth, a truth that could be easily verifiable. I mean, again, he says, "See, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem." I mean, even at this very moment, they could see his dedication, his determination to go, even though danger and distress awaits him. So as he's relating to this, there is no self-glory, but it's to encourage these Ephesian elders that they will adopt this approach, this mentality in their own ministries because of the future of what they're going to have to face. So he remains undeterred. He is not going to make any U-turns whatsoever. Now, finally, there is his determination or his dedication that is explained. And this is seen in the phrase, so that I may finish, first of all, my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So the reason that he expresses his determination, the reason that he is undaunted and undeterred in his determination, is because of his desire to finish his race. The term finish means to complete, not to fall short of. When it comes to his race, he is speaking about his life as a follower of Jesus Christ. He had spoken of his life, or the Christian life in general, in these terms. Paul was very familiar with the Greek games, the Olympics of their day. These were ancient games. He understood something about the competitors going to great lengths to train, to know the rules, the course, that is, the boundaries of any race or event, so that they would not be disqualified. And he brings those analogies over into the Christian life. So Paul's desire is not to fall short, but to finish, to complete, to win his course, his race, and to do so with joy. And then in more specific terms, he speaks of the ministry which he received from the Lord Jesus. That is, his call to be an apostle. This was something that was marked for Paul from the very beginning. He was going to proclaim Jesus Christ before great men of notoriety, before kings, before governors, before religious leaders. And he was also shown how great things that he must suffer for the name and for the cause of Jesus Christ. And he did so. And he did so willingly. And of course, at the very base of that attitude was his own salvation. Paul describes himself as the chief of sinners. He understood something about the magnitude of his sins, his sinfulness before God. And he understood something about the even greater magnitude of God's grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. And because of his great appreciation for what Christ had done for him, his thankfulness, He stood ready to suffer for the cause of Christ. Now, the focal point here is seen in the expression to testify to the gospel of the grace of God, the good news of God's grace. I mean, this is the essence of what the gospel is all about. It's the essence of what every aspect of salvation revolves around, from the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Holy Spirit. It is all predicated upon this basic principle of grace. And this is something that moved Paul. This is something that he gloried in as it relates to what God has done through his only Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, this designation to testify, very much like standing in a court of law, giving his testimony to the unbelieving world about the good news of God's saving grace. Now, we live in an age where these types of attitudes are vital. We have so-called ministers that are caving left and right to the false teachings and the philosophies of this world instead of standing firm in the gospel of the grace of God. And in our own lives, we need to stand for the sake of truth, regardless of the expense that we may have to encounter, that there is nothing that will move us from our following of Jesus Christ. Because we count Christ and being found faithful as more important than the comfort of our own lives.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's holy word, to the saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to his lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.